Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, FlowTrack Podcast. I'm Gordon. This is Olivia. Day 7, the 200s. Man, that women's 200. Sharika Jackson,
wild.
We'll get into that. We had some 4x1 prelims where there was almost a little bit of chaos on the women's side. Not on the men's side. Oh, actually, a little bit on the men's side as well. We had some interesting women's 800 prelims. Two field event finals, triple jump. Almost crazy. Almost ridiculous, yes, in the women's triple jump. But altogether, it's setting up for a great Saturday and Sunday. We're going to have the 4x1 finals. We'll have the 5K finals, 800-meter finals. Now that we've seen what happened in the 1 and the 2, makes that 4x1 very interesting. You're going to have the 100-meter champion, Sha'Carri, the 200-meter champion, Sharika, both maybe anchoring, maybe on the same leg in the 4x1. Probably Shelly will get the anchor for Jamaica. But anyway, a lot of excitement going on for the next 48 hours. But before we get to all that, we got to thank our sponsors. Olivia, who's sponsoring today's podcast?
Absolutely. The one and only Wonderful Pistachios. And Gordon, are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that packs a real protein punch? I bet you are. So give a crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. There is about each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachio contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It is one of the highest protein nuts out there on the market. But that's not all, you guys. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and better-for-you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer, especially as we have 48 hours left to go in these championships, and that's not the best part about it. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors, sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you while you're getting ready for school, getting ready for work, dropping the kiddos off to all the after-school activities. This is the way to fill you up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
If you haven't got Wonderful Pistachios by now, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I know. You're just underneath a rock at this point.
Yeah. Well, you probably are busy watching 7 great days of track and field because we had another, I would say, dramatic. There were some things that were like, okay, that makes sense. Noah Lyles winning the 200. It was dramatic for me for other reasons, but there were some weird things that happened to some favorites and weird, you know, things I didn't expect. And I think we should start with that women's 200. While I think a lot of people expected the top three, which what we got,
yes,
with Sharika, Gabby, and Sha'Carri. Sharika proved she was the favorite for a reason and destroyed Gabby and Sha'Carri. But were you expecting to see 21-41? Let me say that again.
Yes.
21-41. She is only,
yes,
0.02 away from running a 21-3. That's nuts. Olivia, wrap our head around that. What did we just see?
We just saw the number two all-time performance in history. Sharika Jackson, from the start, as we could expect from the talented Jamaican, got out aggressively, attacked the turn, and literally it was just her against the clock coming off of that 100 meters. Home stretch, she was just powering through. No one was able to respond, Gordon. No one. It was just like, there goes Sharika Jackson. Race is now for second and third. Who else is going to medal with her? And of course, we predicted Gabby Thomas and Sha'Carri Richardson being in that top three along with Jackson. It was just kind of the order. I was just so impressed. 21:41, just 0.07 off of a world record. And I don't know about you, but if I was Sharika Jackson, I would be celebrating. But she almost looked upset. Do you think maybe it was because, like, that world record, you're just that close and you're like, goodness gracious, what can I have done? Because there was no celebration. She just kind of looked at the clock and was like, okay.
I don't think she was upset. I think she was just tired.
That could have been it too.
I mean, remember when Sydney was on the track after running 50 seconds in a 400 hurdles? She just sat there, put her hands on her knees.
I would have been laid out though.
Chilling.
400 hurdles. That's a
yeah,
that's a
but I think Sydney didn't really celebrate her world record because she was tired. She just literally ran something that hasn't been done before. And while we have seen a time a little bit faster than this done before, we haven't seen something this fast done before in a while. And so for Sharika, I think it was more just my body just did something it's never done before, and I need to chill out right now. I need to catch my breath. I don't even have the energy to smile. All of her smile energy was put into that 21:41. So she had to kind of refuel. She had to kind of get in the sunlight, get some solar powers of energy to get that smile and that reaction of, oh my goodness, I just ran an incredible time. I'm in my prime. And you look at that wind. It was not a heavy tailwind. It was no wind. You give her some extra little bit of wind, give her a 1.9 to 1.7 wind, maybe even a little bit of altitude. That world record, 1,000%, is within reach. It's not just a ooh, you need the perfect day. She ran 21:41 after running 100-meter rounds, 200-meter rounds. She could put something special together if the planets align.
Yeah. I think she had perfect conditions, though. Because if you think about when it comes to the 200, right? Like if we're talking about negative wind, that means that first half of that race, she's running into a headwind. It's the clock and the wind gauge is looking at the last 100. So I don't know if she would want probably a negative wind. I think this was like ultimate perfect conditions of like having nothing. Like we saw the pure raw talent of Sharika Jackson running 21:4. Insane.
Yeah, I think we weren't expecting 21:4. And I think because we weren't expecting 21:4, we thought Gabby had a shot. But as soon as, like you said, when you're watching that opening 80 meters, you're like, oh, she's on all-time quick pace. As good as Gabby is not ready to run in that territory. So the race was pretty much over in the first 60 to 80 meters. And then it was kind of like Gabby versus Sha'Carri run for second. There was a moment when I looked like Gabby was falling apart a bit and maybe Sha'Carri was going to be able to get her in the final 20, 30 meters. But Gabby was able to just kind of keep her form, hold on, and kind of just kind of look like a struggle through the line to hold off Sha'Carri on the outside. But yeah, Sharika, 21:4. How old is she? I got to think. What's her age?
I feel like, I think we're close in age. So maybe 29. 94. Yeah, 29.
She's 29. Yeah. Just turned 29. She'll be turning 30 at the Olympics. That's these next 2 years are her final years of being in this type of shape. Yes, we see what Shelly-Ann has been able to do with her incredible mid-30s year that she had last year and the year before. But to run world record type times, you need to be in your prime. And she's in her final maybe 2 years of prime. You could argue maybe this was her best chance looking back at it, but I still think she stays healthy. She's going to go into 2024 with that confidence, smelling the world record, and she might put it together in the coming year.
Do you think if you're Sherika Jackson right now, you try to find one more race? Like right now, just, within the last month, just knowing that you're less than a tenth of a second off of breaking world record. And again, I don't even know if that was like a vision for her, like, hey, this is what we're striving for. But now that you're that close, do you try one more time, or do you just take the time to, you know, rest and get training for Paris next year?
I don't think she tries to go to the well. I think she tries to, you know, continue running well and maybe win a Diamond League or two. You know, try to win the one and the two in the Diamond League. Maybe try to beat Sha'Carri in the 100 to try to have at least one win over her. But in the sprints, sprinters don't really go for world records in a weird way. No one's ever like, world,
because I think
tune in for this sprint event world record attempt. Like, that happens in the distance races because there's pacing, there's lights, there's setup with wind, like temperature conditions with Kipchoge and the marathon. That's like a distance thing. Whereas for the sprinters, world records just come in. There's the ultimate pressure, which is a championship final. So I think we're really going to only see her go have a world record attempt in a 200 meter final at Paris, in a 200 meter final in 2025 in Tokyo. I don't think Prefontaine 200 is going to really make, she's going to go to the well. Like, the only time you really have to go to the well is when there's a medal on the line. No one really goes to the well when there's no medals on the line.
I guess, but I think we haven't had world record talks because we didn't really think anyone would break them. Like Usain Bolt, once he ran that, I don't think anyone ever thought anybody would come remotely close to running the times that he was running. Flojo, no one thought anybody would be close. But now that we're seeing it, Sherika Jackson kind of tapping into that wheelhouse, and then Noah Lyles kind of putting it out there and running what he did at World Championships last year in that 200. All of a sudden now the brain starts to spin and you're like, wait, is it actually possible now? Like, this isn't so far-fetched. I feel like within the recent years that now the conversations of world records are happening.
Yeah, but I just don't think she's going to do it in any other meet except for a global final. I also don't think Sherika is really motivated right now for the world record. I think she's motivated to get another medal. I think she's motivated to win an Olympic medal, win an Olympic gold. Because you look at the past three global championships, 2021, it was all Elaine Thompson hurrah. 2022, while Sherika ran well, you were still, Shelly-Ann was looked at as the top sprinter because of a regular season and ultimately winning the 100-meter dash. When you look at 2023, you look at the two people who won gold, Sherika and Sha'Carri. If you're going to have to rank them, while Sherika has this incredible time, Sha'Carri's going to have, hey, I've beaten Sherika multiple times in 100, and I won the more marquee sprint event, the 100. So I think in a way, Sherika, I think this was kind of the constellation prize for her. She really wanted that 100 because winning the 100 on the women's side is what marks you as the fastest woman in the world. And while Sha'Carri, in a way, just gets to have that title until 2024, even though Sherika ran 21:41. I think the only way Sherika would have been looked at as a faster woman this year over Sha'Carri is if she actually broke the world record, because there's just a bias towards the 100 meters. And if there's a bias towards 100 meters, you look at Sha'Carri having multiple head-to-head against Sherika and the gold, you're going to just naturally say, hey, that's cool. You have the 200. That's why Noah Lyles is so big about getting good in the 100, because Noah Lyles could dominate the 200, but everyone's going to pay attention to Marcel Jacobs. They're all going to pay attention to Fred Curley. And Noah Lyles is like, all right, no matter what I do in the 200, it means nothing unless I can do it in the 100. So I think that itch for Sherika still hasn't been scratched despite running the second fastest 200 of all time.
Yeah, I have to agree, because it's like that statement, being the fastest woman, men, alive, right? You look to the 100. However, yeah. I kind of going back to world record talk a little bit with Sharika Jackson, I agree with you. I think the thought process was getting my medals. Let me rack up my medals, right? But it's kind of like what you discussed earlier in the week on the podcast. It's like, okay, you only have certain, you have medals now. Now we got to strive for that time. And I think now the way Sharika Jackson may approach going forward is like, yes, I'm going to, probably that 100 is going to be something she's going to be really focused on. She wants a title. I want to be the fastest woman on the planet. 200 meters, she's completely dominating that. But this time now, I want it for another reason. I want to strive for a world record now. I want, and again, I think she wasn't maybe motivated, you know, these world championships. Again, it's just earning the medals. But I think pretty soon her brain might start switching a little bit and being like, okay, just went 21:41, great conditions. It's time to elevate now. What more can I pull from this 200? I already have the titles. Now it's just time to get that time. It's like stepping stones, Gordon.
Speaking of medals, now she only has two global gold individuals. So take out relay stuff because relays, you know, relays I just don't count as your individual medal count. She already has 8 global medals individually. She has 6 at the world championship level and 2 at the Olympics. So you could argue she should get double medals next year and double medals again. So by the time she's 31, she could have 12 individual medals. That, in the all-time world, that puts you in like a top 10 tier all-time. 12? Because remember, she got... In the Olympics 2016, she was bronze in the 400. In the 2015 World Championships, she was bronze in the 400. So the number, the more and more she adds to that medal total. Now, I get it. She's going to want more of those colors of those medals to be gold than silver or bronze. So she's going to hopefully, you know, but it's going to be hard because Shakira's going to be in her way. Shelly-Ann's going to be in her way faster. Gabby's going to be in her way, but. Her trajectory is looking good in the all-time ranks. Don't think it's going to be enough for her to pass Shelly-Ann. I think the only way she would pass Shelly-Ann if she got she went 4-for-4. Like if she won double gold 2024, double gold 2025, then you'd be like, all right, maybe we need to pass the torch to Sharika. But right now, Shelly-Ann still has that torch.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on to the men's 200. Olivia, my prediction... that I've been holding on to for over a year, because it was all the way back in July of 2022. I said, Kenny B was going to win the men's 200 in 2023, then Lyles 24 and Knighton in 25. I held on to that despite seeing Noah Lyles have a phenomenal end of 2022, a phenomenal 2023, winning the 100 meter gold. I was like, well, I'm going to, I'm going to stay on this ship until it completely sinks. And that was up until, you know, 15 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago. Kenny B did not win. He didn't even medal. I thought he would medal. He fell to fifth. But it was a, let's be honest, this was an incredible field. 5 phenomenal all-time 200-meter runners. And that's not even including Andre DeGrasse, the Olympic champion, because DeGrasse isn't in his prime. But seeing the 3 Americans throw in Hughes and throw in a young Tobogo, this was a very this is a deeper 200 than we normally see. And so I'm upset that my prediction's wrong, but let's be honest. It was a Hail Mary prediction. It would have been great if it happened, but hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I airballed this one. I still believe in Kenny B. Still think he's going to be a medal contender the next couple years. So all's going to be fine for Kenny B. But I think we really need to focus this segment on Noah Lyles. He officially pulls off the double. This was the easier event of the two. So once he got the 100, it seemed inevitable that he was going to get this 200. He's the first one to pull off the world championship double since Bolt. That's a sentence to say out loud. First one to do something since the greatest of all time to do it. But you look at he easily did it. He didn't. It wasn't a lean. It wasn't close. Knighton really wasn't in the wheelhouse. He beat him handedly. I do think there was a little bit of numbness to the result because you're like 19-5, Lyles. You do that in your sleep. 19-5. That's like your floor. It's a gold. It's a world championship final. You're only running your floor. Like we want to see you in a 19-4s, threes, maybe even a twos. But it actually kind of made more sense that he ran 19-5. Having the three legs of the 100 in his legs, I think it would have been crazy for him to run near a world record, near his American record in this final. 19-5, looking back on it, makes a lot of sense. I was never on the we're going to see a world record train anyway. I thought he's the favorite, but he's going to run like enough to win, which is what he did.
Before I put my thoughts out there, I just want to say that I was correct on my order. For everyone that has messaged me saying I was going to be wrong, here we go.
Okay, wait. Olivia, hold on. Who did you say was going to win the women's 200?
I was wrong about that. I had Gabby Thomas. I was rooting for the U.S. here. Gabby Thomas, and then I had Sharika Jackson, Shakiri Richardson. However, in this men's final, people were messaging me about the men's final in my prediction.
3 for 3.
In that, I was wrong. So, Noah Lyles, Arianne Knighton, Tobogo. It was kind of a mirror of what we saw in that women's final, right? Like, Shakiri Richardson gets out, does her thing. It's the race for second. Lots of things were happening that last 100. It was pretty much Noah Lyles up in front. Arianne Knighton, I have to say, like, Kenny B, like, he was in the mix. Like, he was there. And then all of a sudden, it just trickled away. Arianne Knighton, the young talent, just sneaks in there for second, 1975, Tobogo, 1981. I think to just kind of continue that conversation of, like, 19-5, I was one of those people that was like rooting for Noah Lyles for this world record. I am all for the fast times. I was like, I just want to see history be made on my TV screen right now, watching the world championships. And to see like 19-5, I don't want to be like kind of disappointed, but it's like when that hype is up there and you believe in that athlete that you're like, yeah, I really think like Noah Lyles putting it out there. I was like, I support that. And I want to see that happen. And then to kind of just trickle away. It wasn't like a 19-2 or 19-3 where it was close. And you're like, dang it, he's just right there. And we're like, dang, 19-5? Like, we've seen Noah Lyles obviously go faster than that. So you're just kind of expecting to see something better than what you've seen before, you know? But overall, I felt like the 200 was just a mirror of each other. One dominant athlete in the race for second and third.
If Noah Lyles ran 9-6... or 9-7 low in the 100, then I think it would have been more realistic for a world record attempt. But he's run 9-8 before. He ran 9-8 in 2019 when he was running 19-5s. So the 100 didn't really show like, uh-oh, 200's going to be wild. The 100 more showed like he's a gamer and can win when there's a lot of pressure on him. I didn't think it showed that he was in world record fitness. I think we need to see Noah Lyles start running 9-7s in the 100 for us to start thinking. I mean, Bolt ran 9-5 when he ran 19-19. 9-5. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would be crazy for a 9-8 guy to run the equivalent 200 of a 9-5 guy.
Yeah.
I do think, though, a 9-6 guy can run the equivalent of a 9-5 guy in a 200 because they're two different events. But 9-8 just seemed like a bigger jump for him. And I think he probably knew that. I think his coach knew that. It's like, hey, once they saw the 100 results, they were kind of like, all right, he's better than everyone, but he's not, this isn't going to be a 19-2 day, which is fine.
Yeah.
He's young. And now he can train hard for a whole year, go into next year as a double champion, defending champion in the global titles, and see if he can put together that 9-6. 19-10 performance he predicted. You know, that prediction, it was really, at the end of the day, that prediction was a 2024 prediction. It was never a 2023 prediction. It was always a 2024. He just didn't tell us.
Maybe, but it's out there. And yeah. I'm still on that train. I'm like, come on, Noah, we can do this.
Yeah.
I'm all on board of that.
I'm I think he's going to get close for sure. It's hard to, I've learned my lesson to stop saying Usain Bolt's record's going to get broken because I failed miserably at that. So I'm always going to have one very strong foot on the inside of that door where I stick with Bolt because I don't want to make that mistake again. But my toes are a little touching the water with Noah. He's double champion. Okay. He's gonna improve. He's still in his prime. He's not leaving his prime. And there's gonna be more excitement around 2024, more pressure, which is I think gonna bring more out of him. So yeah. Congrats to Noah. I mean,
congratulations.
He did the thing.
Got it's the official. Gold.
We kind of already thought it already happened after he won the one, but now it's official. Now he can try to win the triple and win the 4x1. Yep. But
speaking of 4x1,
yeah, Noah Lyles, he is officially the fastest man in the world. Who's this? And I guess Tobogo is officially the second fastest man in the world. Who do you say is the second fastest man in the world? Tobogo, Knighton, Hughes, or Curley?
Going with Knighton.
You think Knighton's the second fastest man in the world? But Tobogo, he did well in the 100.
He did.
100's more important than the 200. I think you got to put Tobogo number two. I think fastest man, I think it should be Lyles, Tobogo, Knighton, I guess Hughes, and then Curley.
Okay.
Because I think Curley's still fast. He just didn't get to show it. I think Curley would have medaled in the 100-meter final if he made the final. So
very true.
That's my current power rankings of fastest man power rankings.
I think my thought process is similar to yours.
Yeah.
My brain automatically went to the 200. I think I'm just biased because I love the 200 so much. So my brain was
just watched Knighton. It.
Yeah, we just watched it too. Yeah, I would have to say Lyles, Tobogo.
Then Knighton.
Put Fred fifth.
Put Fred fifth.
You did.
Yeah. I think he deserves it. He's still fast. You can't just say what happened this week is all that matters. There's more.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Than what happened
Absolutely.
This week. So
right. So my brain automatically wanted to put Fred third. That's why I was like hesitant.
Well,
but yeah. Knighton has just been on a whole different level. So yeah, I feel like for me, there's a lot of toss ups here.
We'll all agree, Lyles
is number one.
Yeah, we'll get more data points after the second half of the Diamond League comes in. But I refuse to do the thing where what happened at Worlds is the order, no matter what, and that the other 364 days of the year mean nothing. I think that's bad for the sport to just say whoever wins Worlds, whoever goes 1, 2, 3 in Worlds is automatically the fastest, second fastest, third. Like, yes, that's important, but there's more to running than just one championship. It's an important part, but not the only part. So that's why I still think Fred should be considered a top five sprinter in the world, despite.
Well, yeah, that's why I was like number three. That's why I was like, yeah. I think Fred, I said number three for me. So yeah, I totally agree. You can't base off, like, yes, they prepare for these championships, this moment. That's what the goal is, right? But entirely as a season, yeah, things change.
All right, let's stay with the sprinting. Start the men's 4x1. Yeah. Nothing that exciting. I think, though, there was a little concern here. USA had a little bit of a bobble of exchange between Brandon Carnes and JT Smith. Both
a little bobble?
First time.
A little? Well,
yeah, a little bobble.
Big bobble.
It was a little, nah,
no.
Okay, medium bobble. No. It was a medium bobble.
Yes, it was definitely more than little.
Okay, it was a Vente? Maybe it's Starbucks type? Starbucks size is a Vente bobble?
It was a grande bobble. Yeah, I was
a
like,
grande bobble.
Let's use the tall glass. Yeah,
yeah, grande. It was a grande bobble. It's a grande bobble.
Yeah,
But it makes sense. Brandon Carnes and JT Smith, first time on a Team USA relay. You're bound to have that. They had the big lead, which is all because of Coleman and Curley. And they lost that lead with JT Smith. But obviously, JT Smith is going to be taken off, likely. And I'd say they would put Noah Lyles on. I'm not reporting that, but that's what I would assume. They replace mm-hmm. Smith with Lyles. And then Lyles would clearly be able to hold on to that lead. The thing we learned here, though, was not seeing Kervant Charleston, I think, was a sign that he's not 100% and it's not going to be on this relay. But Coleman mm-hmm. looked good. Curley looked good. Carnes held his own. I think if Carnes and Noah can just have that good exchange, I don't think a Jamaica or Japan is going to close on Noah Lyles right now.
No, absolutely not. The key for the round, get the stick around, and that's what they did. Very nerve-wracking because history has shown that the U.S. tend to struggle getting the baton around. And, you know, if you think about it, like, these athletes aren't training together all the time to practice handoffs, right? Like, we think, you know, going to the women's side a little bit, you know, you think about Texas having the collegiate record U.S. number one time in the world right now. Those ladies practice every day, train together every day, have relay exchange practices probably every other day, right? So I expect it to be sharp. So, like, to come into these championships, sometimes I think people are like, gotta have perfect handoffs all the time, every single time they step on the track. The orders switch a lot. These athletes don't train together too, but I'm happy to see got the stick around. Fred Curley looked great on the back stretch there. Christian Coleman leading off did fantastic, as to be expected. Just got to clean up the handoffs a little bit. It won't be golden.
And Curley definitely wants this team to win, because if they don't get the stick around, he can go home with no medals. It's going to be weird seeing Curley cheer for Noah Lyles on the home stretch to be like, get me a gold. It's a weird thing where they, you know, they're competing against each other, and all of a sudden Curley is the biggest Noah Lyles fan for 9 seconds at the end of that relay, which would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Italy looked good. But watching this, I don't see a team scaring USA. If USA gets to stick around, Jamaica ran their A team, and Jamaica didn't look anything special. Like, they had Seville, they had Blake on there. USA won without their fastest guy. You got to think, you throw in your fastest guy, that's going to give you at least a 0.1 more faster, right? I don't know.
Minimum.
So you got to like USA's chances, but at the same time, we always like USA's chances, and then USA destroys it through ridiculous blunders. So I'm not sure if I should put money on it, but I think I should trust Noah Lyles. He's got 2 golds. I should think that he should be able to get the third. But man, it's all about the stick, which I hate. I hate that it's about the stick and not about the talent. It makes me not really like the 4x1 as much, because it's about the stick and not the talent. But that's another conversation for another day. Women. Now this one.
This got spicy.
Okay, Olivia, what happened here? What happened between the exchange of Terry and Clark from leg 2 to 3?
Goodness gracious. Well, it was definitely deep in the zone. From what it looked like outsider, and again, it feels different when you're actually in the race, TT Terry was looking fantastic, blasting down the backstretch. I couldn't tell if Clark maybe got out too early, or if Clark just didn't have the right marks, because they're like, when the adrenaline's pumping and you're going, obviously things can happen. Either way, Clark was way too out in front, and TT Terry had to do extra work to get that exchange to Clark. I really needed a magnifying glass when they were showing the replay, because it looked like Clark was just outside of that the exchange zone when she received the baton. And I must say, as the outgoing runner, there's a couple of responsibilities that you are in charge of. You're in charge of getting off on time on your mark, listening for your incoming runner to cue you, keep a flat hand for your target, and be observant of where you are in the zone. Because when you're the incoming runner, you can't see where that exchange zone is, where it starts, where it ends. You're kind of going off feel. So the outgoing runner, those are your responsibilities. And I felt like Clark did a fantastic job of making sure, despite all the hiccups that were going on, that she remained calm and that she did not turn around. She didn't slow down like abruptly so that T.T. Terry ran into her, because all of a sudden then you're asking for accidents to happen, right? But Clark kept her hand back the whole entire time, and T.T. Terry was able to place that exchange. And I know when I was watching this and they kept showing the replay, I was like, dang, this is really, really close to the end of the exchange zone. But by the looks of it, USA got in. So, yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking. I was screaming at the TV, like, what is going on? But things don't happen.
So you'd say that it actually is impressive that they're able to get it around with that situation, that actually showed even in a bad situation, they're able to adjust. It actually wasn't, embarrassing you mess up the baton exchange, but more actually it shows that in bad scenarios, Clark knew how to adjust and knew how to make sure a bad scenario doesn't become a disqualification. And that, like, absolutely, to just savage a bad
just
scenario.
Imagine if Clark was to turn around because she's approaching the end of the exchange zone. And like T.T. Terry said in her post-race interview, she was yelling at Clark to, like, slow down, like, wait, wait. And Clark did not hear her. She just kept going. And so, of course, with all the noise going around, I don't blame her for not hearing, because everyone's saying different, you know, cues and stuff. But the fact that Clark was able to just remain calm and poised, because just imagine if Clark was to, like, abruptly stop because she's seen the end of the exchange zone and she's like, wait, I don't have the stick yet. And she was to turn around and T.T. Terry's still coming in full force. That's how accidents happen. Then we would have had a collision and then the stick definitely would not have gone around. So it was definitely too close for comfort on my end. But the fact that Clark was able to be in that position and make sure she got that baton when she did, she gets a round of applause for me.
All right. So now what does, we know the men, are going to just probably put Lyles on the anchor and probably keep Carnes in the third leg. And that's going to be their team. Replace JT Smith with Noah Lyles. And that should be fine. The question is now, what are the women going to do? Cause they have Sha'Carri and they have Gabby Thomas.
Yes.
What do you think the order is going to be? And do you think adding both or one of Sha'Carri and Gabby is going to be good enough to beat this Jamaica team that will add Sharika? So what do you think the order
is? Probably really going to hate me for this, but the way that Jamaica looks right now without Sharika Jackson, that's a scary thought. It's scary. I see Jamaica like being the heavy favorite going into these finals. I don't know if we were to add Sha'Carri Richardson and Gabby Thomas to the finals, if that's going to make. Yes, I feel like it would improve the time, but I don't think it's going to be enough to take down Jamaica.
So what do you think USA's order will be? Do you think they'll add, they'll obviously add Sha'Carri. Do you think they'll add Gabby? And if they do, what do you think the order is going to be?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know.
Because right now they went Davis, Terry, Clark, Jefferson.
We had this conversation before, right? Because I was like, I would want T.T. Terry starting off.
I think they keep Clark and Terry on.
Take Jefferson off?
No. I think they take off Tamari Davis. And I think they take off Melissa Jefferson. And I think Clark and Terry stay on. If I had a guess. I think Clark and Terry stay on. And I think they put... I don't even know.
I have to like visually look at this.
I think you lead off with Terry. Okay. I think you lead off with Terry, you go to Gabby, you go to Clark, then you lead off with Clark, you go to Gabby, you go to Terry, you go to Sha'Carri. Clark, Gabby, Terry, Sha'Carri, and then they get second to Jamaica. because Jamaica's probably going to replace Breonna Williams with Sharika Jackson. Like, I don't even know where they put Sharika Jackson on this. They'll probably put Sharika second leg. They'll probably put Thompson third leg. Mm. Or they probably lead off Thompson. So they probably go Thompson, hurrah, to Sharika, to Forbes, to Shelly Ann. And then that's all she wrote.
Mm. See, I would put Sharika either second or third. She eats up that curve, man.
Yeah, maybe do purse. Maybe keep Thompson second. Thompson still has the strength, and then you just keep it the same, replace Forbes with Sharika.
Yeah.
And then you just have Williams, Thompson, hurrah, Sharika, Fraser Price. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll find out, like, but I think Jamaica is going to win.
I think Jamaica goes in with
they just had a runner
with the target on their backs. They're going to be, like, as you would say, pulling.
I get it. It's only 100 meters. It's a 4x1 and not a 4x2, but Sharika just ran 21.41.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Nuts. So I'm excited, though. Should be good. Other thing that was weird, women's 800.
Yeah.
Nia Akins gets through. Pretty impressive. Not pretty impressive. Extremely impressive for her to get in comfortably, which Hodgkinson gets through. Raven Rogers takes the risk. It's a slow round, but gets in on top two. Gemma Rieke ran great for Great Britain. So you have Hodgkinson, Akins, Rieke, Rogers, and then we have that third heat. Mary Mora, a thing mo, and we see a thing mo.
My heart get pounded out of my chest.
Something with 350 meters to go. Basically, almost falls. It's a complete 180. It looks like she's running in the opposite direction for a moment. And the field is gone. And there was a point when I was like, if she like tweaks something, it's over. If there was a little bit of like an ankle tweak, she's not going to be able to put pressure on that and be able to power through it. But luckily, there was no weird tweak or like pull muscle that happened, because it looked like it could have pulled a muscle. She was able to just stay calm. And seeing her easily get back to the front against a field that was led by Mary Mora, who some say is the third, if not second, best runner in the world. I think Mo is going to destroy this 800 final. Like, she is just in a different wheelhouse. She literally stopped, took a picture, took a selfie. Hey, my ankle's weird. And then caught up everyone and then easily qualified. It was ridiculous.
Did you have a panic attack? Did you have
a
panic attack?
I did, because I had money on her to win. I had panic.
So you're like, I need you to get through.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think it even, personally, from when I was viewing this, it almost looked like leading into that final lap, like before 350 meters to go, it looked like she was getting bumped a couple times. And I'm watching her and I'm like, she looks uncomfortable right now. Like, not uncomfortable because of the pace, but uncomfortable of like her surroundings. That's what it looked like. And then before I knew it, Thingmo does a 180. Someone goes down. I'm like, a Thingmo, please don't fall. Stays on her feet. I feel like there was some pushing happening going into that final lap. And then all of a sudden we just saw the snowball effect. And it just happened. I'm happy she stayed on her feet.
Yeah.
Cruised through.
If there was any doubt, because obviously there was a thought maybe she wasn't going to compete here, that semifinal showed that she is 100% the Thing Mo we know from last year and the year before. I think she's probably more even the Thing Mo of 2 years ago, where she was better. Because she was better 2 years ago than she was last year. A Thing's not losing. A Thing is going to win this thing easily. It's not even going to be close. There was thoughts it could be close because you saw Keeley have a great indoor season. Mary Mora was beating Keeley. You're like, these two women, Mary Mora and Keeley Hodgkinson, are like on fire. And a Thing Mo has, I don't even know if I'm going to run. I'm going to do the 1500. Oh, yeah, I only ran like 158. Like, there was a lot of just like, what's going on with a Thing Mo? She cares more about the 2024 Olympics than 2023. Meanwhile, these other two women are going crazy. That entire take or thought process went out the door when he watched that last 300 meters. Because then you're like, oh, okay. She literally knows she is a I can turn on the switch whenever type athlete. You ask me to turn on the switch and I go from here to here. And she's going to be heavy favored in that final. I got her at plus 115 to win, which is great, plus money. She's going to be like minus 300 to win after watching that final, after watching that semifinal.
So now, just looking at into the finals, we have three Americans, right?
Yeah,
all three. Do we see potentially two Americans medaling?
I just, Mary Mora and Keeley are really good.
Right.
And Akins is having out of, I feel like Akins is having, is Atkins or Akins? I'm sorry if I'm saying your name incorrectly. Nia is having kind of an out of body type season. The way she ran at USA's, the way she's easily getting through to the final here. Rogers, we've seen over and over do this, but I think it's going to be fast. I don't think Rogers is prepared to run 156 low. I think you're going to have to run 156 low to medal. And I also think Akins isn't ready to run 156 low. I think they can both run. I think if it's slow, if it's like a 157, 158 win, then yes, I think two Americans could medal. But it's not. It's going to be fast. Someone's going to take it out. And the winning time is going to be 155 low. Second place is going to be 155. And then third place is going to be like 156 low. So I just don't think Rogers or Atkins can do that. They both could medal in a kick race, but it's not going to be a kick race. So I'd say just one medalist and it'll be a thing though.
Awesome.
I also could be completely wrong. And everything I can say could be completely opposite. Because like based Gordon on my bets, inside
scoop, talked to every single woman that's going to be in that final and was like, this is how the race is going to go. This is their race strategy.
Listen to Flowchart's podcast.
I think this is the perfect example to be like, run a Thing Mo's race in this 800 final.
Yeah.
Run a Thing Mo's race.
I'm trying to think, how would I beat a Thing Mo? If I'm Keely if I'm Mary.
Collectively, all seven women have to box her in.
I think the only way Keely and Mary could beat a Thing is if they worked together. But they wouldn't.
No. Every woman for themselves.
But if you want to beat a Thing, you're going to need two women to like box her in and make it really hard for her. You need to pull a sacrificial lamb type situation, which all other seven women are like, no, I'm not sacrificing my opportunity. But then if no one sacrifices, the Thing Mo's like, okay, I'll just win again. So... I think the way to beat a Thing would be I'm trying to think.
She has a kick.
Yeah. I don't
she can lead. She can come from behind.
To be honest, I think
what are her Thing Mo's flaws right now? Like what are her flaws?
What's her weakness? The best chance to beat a Thing would be to try to like, I'm going to run 154 and let's just see if she can do it. That's the only way. If it's it's a 158, a Thing has so much speed and she'll have enough time to get around whatever she needs to get around in a sit and kick race. I think the only way is like, you got to make it 154 and then see if a Thing falls apart in the final 50, which happens, you know, the greats fall apart. Jakob Ingebrigtsen fell apart in the final 50. It could happen. So if Keely or Mary want to win, you got to go out in 56 and close in like 58 and see what happens. We'll see. Women's triple jump. Rojas almost lost. She barely got into the final because she snuck into the final three attempts on her third attempt. So she was in last place. She was in last place all the way until the final round. And then she did one jump over 15 meters, got her into first, and then won, which just shows even when she goes, has six opportunities and five of them suck, you just give her that sixth one and she has the ability just to throw down an all-time type mark, which she did, jumps over 15 meters in one attempt. And it just shows how good she is that she could have miss, foul, bad mark, 15 meters, and then I win. So Rojas gets the win in the triple jump. And then women's javelin. Who won the women's javelin? I should have written this down. Japanese athlete Kitaguchi won on her final throw. Throws 66 meters, passing everyone for the win. All right. So, Olivia, I got to go over my bets. So, it's not been a good week.
Y'all, it's not. It has not been.
It's not been good.
It's not been good.
Gordon. I have now officially done 31 bets. I've done 31 bets. I will say this. There was a 30-second bet out there in the men's 35K race walk that I didn't get in time, that I didn't place in time because the race started at like 1 a.m. But the person I was going to bet on, I would have won $100. Just let that be known. But I never got the bet in on time, so I don't get it. But I would have gotten an extra $100 if I would have successfully bet the 35K race walk at 1 in the morning. But I didn't. All right, back to where we're at. After day one, I was plus 250. After day two, I was plus 140. Then I was plus $15. So you see a trend. Then I was minus $200. Then I was minus $275. Then I was minus $225. And now Friday was not good. Benaric did not help me. I'm now minus $553.90. After 31 bets, I'm down basically $500. But here's the thing. There's 46 total bets. So I still have 15 more bets out there to rally, which is the plan. So Saturday, here are my bets. Women's marathon, I'm going with Wanjiru to medal at plus 115. Women's shot put, I'm not placing that bet yet. I'm going to wait for the prelims to happen before I place that bet. I got to learn my lesson. Men's 800. I need some money. I need some moolah. So I'm putting all of my money on moolah to win gold. He's plus 550. So if he wins, I win a lot of money, $500. I'm doing a parlay, men's pole vault, women's 5K. I'm going with Obinya of the Philippines to medal in the pole vault and Kip Yegon to get gold in the 5K. If those two things happen, I win $66. So it's not that much. And then 4x1s, I haven't placed my bet yet. Got to wait for the lines to open. But I'm probably going to bet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to probably bet US. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm down 550. Let's hope Saturday's a good day. If Saturday goes well, I think I could get probably up into the $200. If I go perfect on Saturday, I'll be plus 200. Now, there's a lot to happen.
What's the likelihood of you being perfect right now?
Oh, the likelihood is low. Low likelihood.
Very low.
But I'm confident. Oh, man. I'm confident in these picks. Wanjiru to medal, she's going to medal in the marathon. Moolah to get gold, it's going to happen. I don't know. I think it's Kip Yegon to get gold. That's possible. Obinya to get medal in the pole vault. That's possible. He's jumped 6 meters. It's possible. Four by ones is where I'm going to win or lose because I'm going to either go all in on my Jamaican women or USA men pick, or I'm going to try to play the margins and try to predict who I think is going to actually get second or third with like a Italy or Japan or some other team, Brazil, that no one's thinking about that I could get win actual money from them getting third. So I'm going to have to do my research more to see where I'm going to end up. But there's still a lot of bets out there. I'm down 550. We got 2 days. I need the community. Yeah. I need the track and field community, the Flow Track podcast community to rally around this. You need a rally for me. I can't go out a loser. Oh, I got 2 days, a total of 15 bets to go for the rest of our lives. For the rest of our lives. Hey, if I can get to like minus 200 by Sunday, I'm good. Because I have a thing Mo already locked in for gold. That's happening. My 5K pick is not going to work.
But you're probably not going to make much off that, right? Like, it's going to be...
Oh, I got her at plus 115. So if she wins gold, I win $115. So that's good. That's a good bet.
Yeah. Okay.
115 is a full extra bet, you know, because I bet $100 on everything. So I doubled my money there. The big problem is I have Aragawi to get gold in the 5K, and I'm kind of losing hope in that one. So I may have to do a second 5K bet, which I don't want to do, because then when I start adding new bets to try to chase the money, that means it's bad.
And yeah, it's bad. Let's just stick to one per event, please.
Yes, I got to just do one per event. I got to just do one per event. It's tempting, though. It's tempting.
Let's not.
Don't gamble. Let's not. Unless you guys have good mental health, then it's okay to gamble. So, all right. That is day 7. Day 8 tomorrow. Finals are women's marathon, women's shot put, men's 800, men's pole vault, women's 5K, men's decathlon, and then the 4x1s. 4x1. What are we going to see? I'm excited. I just want something special. That should be fun. Olivia, thank you. Greg, thanks for producing.
Brent, thank you.
The chat, we love you as always. Let's do it. Okay, well, I'm seeing this. Debo is saying, Gordon, I will say it again, bet on Japan.
See, I was thinking that in my head.
Bet on Japan a medal in the 4x1. I might do that. That might be the one.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
All right, we got Clocher. You're agreeing it. The chat saying Japan. Yeah. I like Sonny Brown. I love them at Florida. Maybe I'll do that. Let's see if those odds are up. It's the Japan.
I think you should. Check. I think you should do that.
Those odds probably aren't up yet. Yeah, those odds aren't up yet. Like they'll probably come up later tonight / tomorrow morning. But if it's good odds, I may bet on Japan. I may bet on Japan could be the country that saves me. I remember last year I was down bad, and then Jakob winning gold in the 5K saved me because I bet big on that. I bet like $500 on Jakob to win gold to like get all my money back. So maybe I bet $500 on Japan. Maybe I do that.
Let's stick to hundreds, please.
But you know, if you do 500, you get 5X. Hey.
Gordon, let's stick to 100, please.
All right, I'll think about it.
Stick to 100. Yeah. You're kind of treading the same water as if you're doing double bets for the same event.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you're kind of flirting with that a little bit.
One thing, I wanted to bet Luis Grijalva in the 5K to medal, but he's only plus 250, which I kind of love. The fact that Luis Grijalva is now.
Please. Yes. Yes.
You think I should bet it?
Yes. Yes. To medal? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's Ingebrigtsen's there, Kajelka, Aragawa, Gibberwet, Katir.
Luis.
Those five guys are all really good.
Luis,
I'm not sure if Grijalva can beat, you know, three of those guys. I don't know. It's so hard. Gambling. You think it's easy, and then you do it, and then it's not. So anyway, that's enough for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. You guys have a good weekend.